why you always on the bottom. So you are very welcome to this week's episode of the Hot Seat Podcast. In the hot seat this week, we have the man, the myth, and the legend. We have Aaron J.
What's up?
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. I have been looking forward to doing this and wanting to do this interview for a while, so let's get down to business.
Do it.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners, or probably all of our listeners, know who you are. You have kind of been floating around doing your thing for a while. But to take it back to basics first, can you give us a little information about your background story and how you got into music?
Ooh, since I was a kid, I've been a writer since I was like 13 years old. I actually wanted to write books. I actually wanted to write, like, be an author of like writing a book or something. I think it's something to do with maybe my upbringing because of the struggles and stuff like that that most people go through as well. And I feel like that really impacted me to find an outlet. So music was like that kind of way, because I grew up like wrong crowd, stuff like that, and getting into bother. And then music really like just took me away from that. Like I became a different person when I wrote a story. I pitched myself to be that person, or I kind of fell into that delusion of telling myself that I just want to be making music for the rest of my life. I don't want to do anything else. I don't want to work a 9-to-5. I don't want to customer screaming in my face. I don't want none of that, you know. I want a fan screaming in my face when I'm on stage. I'm cool with that. Not a customer, not for a 9-to-5. No, definitely not. But definitely because it was like my outlet as a kid. And now that I'm a man and I'm fully grown up, it still is, and it'll never change. Like, so I think that's really special, you know.
Yeah, I find it mad that you said about originally wanting to write books.
Yeah.
What kind of tore you away from that then to put the writing then into music? Because obviously like books and music are two completely different things.
It was mostly storytelling. Like I used to always write like stuff about, like when I was a kid, I used to have like so much, just going through so much crap, literally. And when I was growing up, me and mum were like, we were in like a really bad place. We were homeless for quite some time, and I envisioned like a different life, and I created these characters in my head all the time, and I wrote books about them. And actually, I tried to write a book when I was like 15, and I called it Shadows Getting Brighter. Like, I'm 20 odd years old, and I still remember the name of the book. Like, I never finished it though, but maybe one day. But yeah, no, it was just like the likes of like Tupac Shakur or Linkin Park, Eminem, Jay-Z, stuff like that. I started to listen to their stories, and especially Chester from Linkin Park. He only passed, what, 2 years ago now? And he was a massive, massive inspiration on my life. Like, all of his songs were about, like, his struggle and his pain and stuff like that. And obviously, eventually, he did fall into, you know, the doom and gloom and did commit suicide, which is a horrible, horrible thing. So it just goes to show that I did help him prevail and be, especially being an artist who when you put yourself out there and you talk about your emotions in your songs, you're being very vulnerable in the music industry, because people would target that. But I've put myself in a position where nobody can target me, because I already talk about it. I already tell people that, you know, I go through things on a daily basis. So, and I'm proud of it. I'm very, very proud of it. Like, you know, and I've gained an incredible fan base because of it. Like, I've met the fans. When I'm playing shows, I see on their faces like what it means to them as well. So it's incredible. And the best part is it's just beginning. Like, that's the best part. Like, I know where the journey is I'm going on, and I'm not too worried about the destination, because I just want to be here now and just love the way I'm evolving as an artist and changing my genres and going back into another genre, like just stuff like that, really.
Yeah. And it's like you've already found your feet and kind of set your niche, but you're still only in the early days. So like the excitement of everything that's to come, but just enjoying the present. You were saying there about allowing yourself to be vulnerable and to be open. So like you're just an open book.
Exactly, yeah.
What was it like for you to kind of release your first song then? Because obviously when you were writing, you were using that to get your emotions out and to cope with the situation that you were in. But then for you to actually put your first song out there and to kind of say to people, like, this is me and this is what's going on. Like, what was that like for you?
Scary. Scary as hell. Like, literally, especially especially like when I was a teenager, or even when I just reached like 20, like being a man and talking about that, like it is a hard, hard thing. But I felt like I could never talk about it. I could just rap it or I could just sing it. Do you know what I mean? And when I started doing that, like I'm pretty sure I got laughed at, like, but no one ever did it to my face, but I'm pretty sure I got laughed at. But it just made me feel so much better. It was therapeutic. It was like I was talking to a therapist on a daily basis. And it was like my notepad was my listener and just listened to everything I said. And it never gave me an answer. It just always listened. And I think I'm never going to find the answers, but that's a reason for me to keep chasing. Do you know what I mean? Just keep writing the way I write and keep trying to inspire others to be okay. You know, not to try and fit in with anybody. Like, accept yourself for who you are, stuff like that. So, yeah, it would be a massive, massive part of me, definitely. I don't think I'll ever change that. Never. No matter what genre I go into, I'll always make meaningful songs. No matter if they're headbanging or sad, one or the other.
Very good. So we'll always get the truth.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Well, you might get me pretend I have a Ferrari or something one day. I don't know, but we'll see.
In a few years. Does it get any easier as time goes on, like to release those songs, like to share the emotion and to share the like the stories with people, or are you still kind of a bit hesitant about, oh well, like, am I really letting all these listeners know like what's actually going on?
Yeah, every single time. Like, it never gets easier. You just kind of get used to it, I guess, because like with the likes of the singles I released, like Burden and Show Pain, them kind of songs were very meaningful for me and they've impacted so many people. And I didn't expect the response. I just thought no one would care. And it's like when I was writing them, it was stressful. Like it was just constant stress of how to get the right word or the verses are right. But the music I'm making now, it's like, I've really found myself as an artist because I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it. And I don't care if it sounds bad to other people. I love it personally. And it's constant flow. Like, there's just constant material coming to my head. I'm writing every day. I'm recording as much as possible. And yeah, I feel like I will keep, you know, making songs like that. But I believe in it. Like, people should evolve as well, you know, to find the better person in them and to discover what they can do and how far we can go. Because like I always say, like, without superheroes, we're just human beings that don't know how far we can go. So I've got that imagination going on. Like,
brilliant. What are you doing then to kind of get that moving, or to maybe like test your limits?
I've been dropping different kind of styles, and this new thing I'm on at the moment seems to be getting a very, very good response. And it was scary because the people who've been following me now, I was like, oh, they matter to me. Do you know what I mean? Because they built the foundation I have now, like the confidence I have now, they helped me gain that. And for me to switch a genre and do what I want to do and do what I love, I don't want to lose the people who loved what I did before. Do you know what I mean? So the best thing about the fan base I have is that they've accepted me for who I am and they love what I do. So you don't expect me to try and be someone I'm not. Do you know what I mean? Whatever I put out, they're just really supportive with it. And I absolutely love that. Like, it's special. You know, you can't get that. You can't buy that anywhere. You know, that's pure, like, heartfelt kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you do. You definitely have a loyal fan base. Have you got a name for your fans?
No, I wouldn't say so. I don't know. I don't want to offend them when they watch this. I love you guys. I really do. I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to offend anybody, but I don't know. They're a little hard.
Okay, we'll wait for that one to just happen now over the next couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely.
What was it like when you first realized that you had fans? Because I mean, we see like you delivering messages to kids and like just to people in general, and people's faces are lighting up at the fact that you've given them like a happy birthday message or you've said something like, but what was it like when you first realized that like you had a kind of like a set fan group?
Anything is possible. Like when you see people, like you'll meet people on the way and they'll just be like, yeah, keep doing your thing. But then you'll meet people who are inspired by you, who want to do something with their life, and they look at you, but you're no different to them. And they don't see that. They see you as the person they want to be. do you know? And when I first started to realize like I was building a fan base and people were really listening to my music, it was like when I'm getting stopped, when I get stopped in the street, if someone spots me, or they don't just like, you know, get a quick pic or hey, what's up, they chat, they talk to me, they want to know who I am. And I love that. Like they don't care about the popularity, they care about who I am and why I write the way I write. And I think that's so remarkable, because you can always get someone who likes you because of the clout you have, or you know, the money you make. I don't make any money. Do you know? I'm still broke. Do you know what I mean? I'm so straight with that. Like, because I've had people come up to me and be like with shows I played or TV appearances I've been on, they've been like, did you get paid for that? I'm like, no. No, not at all. Like, I'm still broke. I'm still working 9 to 5. Do you know what I mean? But when you realize that you have that kind of exposure and that kind of loyalty, you should really realize that's your foundation. Because if you decide to, you know, there's a difference between arrogance and confidence. You know what I mean? So just show them that you really appreciate everything they've done for you, and never forget that, because without them you are absolutely nothing. Like, nothing's going to happen for you, because at the end of the day, talent does not get you anywhere. And that's the truth, that's the world we live in now. You have to have the support, you have to have the connections, and the determination too. So they're a massive part of it, and I can't wait until all this crap just goes away and I can get back to playing shows and stuff. Because during the pandemic, I did a social distancing gig. It was the weirdest show I've ever played. It was strange. There was no, like, nobody could jump up and dance and stuff like that. So I brought a lot of sad music with me because I knew I'd be sitting down. And I was told not to go out to the people who bought tickets to the show, and they sold it out. And I was like, no, I was like, I have to show these people that I appreciate like them being here. So I went out and I went to actually each table. I walked around the venue. It was so awkward. And they were telling me like they traveled from Cork, Kerry, Limerick, up to Dublin City. Like it was nuts. I couldn't believe it. Like, especially during the pandemic, you know. So if they're willing to do that now, like, I'm pretty sure they're willing to come on tour with me when I start doing the big things. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's awesome. I love it. Absolutely love it.
That's crazy. I remember seeing pictures because I remember hearing about the gig, and I was on two minds about going. And then I was like, oh, I don't really want to go. And then I seen pictures and I was like, oh my God, like, this is what gigs have come to. Now, I'd seen clips from everyone who was performing that night, and I was like, everyone put on a great show. But then when it turned to the crowd, and I was just like,
it's so weird. It was so weird. Like, everybody was like sitting at tables, and it was just, the atmosphere was weird, because every gig I've played, I've always had to embrace the crowd or get the crowd going. Like, especially when I played Longitude back in 2019, that was an amazing show. And I knew I had to bring like the upbeat kind of style and have like just the stage going crazy. But even at the end of my gig in Dublin during the pandemic, I said to them at the end, I was like, thank you so much for letting me just vent all this crap out. And thank you so much for sitting here and listening to me, because I'm actually getting goosebumps thinking about that right now. Because like, you don't get to do that a lot, you know. You always have to impress people, you always have to be on the ball and stuff. And I got the opportunity to be on stage and, you know, go to therapy. Do you know what I mean? It was sick, it was awesome, you know. And that's why I love that they accept me for who I am. You know, they didn't leave, they were tuned in. I seen them watching everything I did, and they were singing the songs. And like, I think that's, any artist will tell you, Kenny. Any artist will tell you, if someone's singing your songs back to you, that's it. Like, that's, fuck the money. Don't care about that, what money you make. If you can sell out a show and people are singing your songs, like, you've impacted them people. You know, we don't sing songs. We sing songs because they're meaningful sometimes, or they do something to us. Like, and to hear that, man, it's just, that's the ultimate goal. Like, I know for a fact, like, I'm looking out at Crow Park right now as we speak. Crow Park is right there. I don't know if you can see this. I'm going to try to show you. So Crow Park is right there. Just over there.
Oh, wow.
So I'm looking at that. Every morning I wake up having a coffee. Every morning. And I'm manifesting that. I'm manifesting that. Save this video.
Honestly, in the next 5 years, I'm predicting we're going to be out of a lockdown and Aaron J is going to be headlining in Crow Park.
Let's go. It'll be sold out too.
Sold out, yeah. There we go. We have it on record now. What's it like to be playing like small kind of venues and then the likes of Longitude that you said you played there in 2019? Is there a huge difference? I know some people prefer like kind of smaller intimate crowds and other people prefer like big open air or just slightly larger crowds. Like, do you have a preference or are you...
Yeah, it's completely different. It's from going from, let's say, a support slot or something small to thousands of people in the crowd that you probably don't even know who you are. And you get to become something different. You're giving them your first impression. You know what I mean? And they're looking at you and they're like, who the hell is this person? Or... So I always say, like, you've got like 5 to 7 seconds to impress a crowd when you walk on a stage. You can't just walk out there and be like, hey, how's it going? You can't do that. You have to go out and let them know that you belong on that stage, no matter how big it is, no matter how many people are there. I'm sorry, I keep burping. I just had some food. But like, it's a big change. And I think anybody who's upcoming and playing small shows, it's only gonna give them more experience, more confidence. And yeah, it's the goal. You know, everybody just wants to play shows. That's what we want to do as artists. We want to be on stage, we want to let loose and just have some fun. Because the studio work, sometimes it's hard, but when you're on the stage, nah, that's totally different. That's like the chains getting taken off and the worries getting left behind and just feeling like the king of the world. You know what I mean? That's what you want.
Yeah. And I'd say it's a great feeling as well, obviously, as you said earlier about having people like sing the words of your song back to you. How do you manage to like grab a crowd's attention or to really suck them in at a gig?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. I actually don't know. I actually don't have an answer for that. I'm one of them guys that love having an answer, but I actually don't have an answer to that. I think maybe just from experience, just from saying what I've witnessed, is I remember like some gigs I've played and I played some like personal songs. And sometimes I tend to close my eyes or hide my face or something like that. If it's very personal, I'll do that because like I'm not afraid to say I'm an emotional person. You know what I mean? I'm cool with my emotions, no doubt. But when I'm on stage and there's loads of people watching you and you're doing them kind of songs and you're like, don't cry here, bro. You know, show that masculinity or whatever it is. But it's like, I remember when I did a song like that and I looked up and everybody was just like in awe. Like they were just watching and they were listening and they were feeling it too. And I think that's an impact anybody can have. Like once you have that determination to become successful, like depending on what your definition of success is, you can have an impact on anybody. And to walk on a stage and do that, that's a dream. You know, that's all I want to do. I just want to constantly make music and constantly evolve as an artist and never put myself in one genre. Like I will tell you this new music I got coming out this summer and this year, it's completely different to what I've been released before because I feel like I found myself as an artist. I love what I'm making and I'm absolutely loving stepping out of my comfort zone. I'm loving that, you know?
Would you find that that's nearly like I've kind of done everything in this genre, it's now time for me to move on? Or is this just like a natural kind of evolution of your music?
Definitely natural, 100%. Because I even like my friend Dylan Ward, probably one of the best producers I've ever come across. He's insane. And I'm so thankful to be like one of his best mates because he actually helped me do all this I'm doing right now at the moment. Like he's producing all my songs and stuff. And I've always been into like, you know, pop punk or anything like that. I've always been into that music. And I said to him in the studio a couple of weeks ago, we were there and we were talking about that. We were talking about like, am I leaving this genre? And I was like, nah. I was like, this is like, I can't leave something that saved me. Like that music saved my life without question. Like I was in such a dark place. I tried to commit suicide twice in my whole life. And like, if it wasn't for me writing like that and putting myself out there to show what kind of strength I have mentally, to not care what people think, that shows I can better myself on anything, no matter what has been thrown in front of me. And I can't take that for granted. I have to remember that's my roots, that's where I come from. So yeah, I'll definitely still be in that genre without question, like definitely 100%, because I have songs like that haven't been released yet. So they will be released for those people who need them, you know, and that's what I want to do. So that's for them.
Perfect. So we'll nearly get the best of both worlds then from you.
Yeah, exactly. Like sometimes you're going to think that, like, you know, he's a headbanger, and then you're going to think that I'm mentally crazy or mentally disturbed or something in my music. Do you know what I mean? So it's a bit weird. So it's a kind of a balance. But yeah, no, I'm just loving creating all these different songs, just all these different styles. So I don't really see myself ever putting a block and wrapping some chains around my legs and put me in one place. Like, do you know what I mean? I just see myself constantly just going different ways.
Yeah, well, that gives us more flavor to work with as well. So I mean,
exactly. Not one trick pony.
Have you found that like lockdown has had an influence on, or an impact even on, like your music and your creative style?
I'm gonna be completely honest here. When lockdown first happened, like everybody who follows me knows, I'm very, very outspoken with my mentality. And at first, when I heard the lockdown being announced, I was shit. I was terrified because I was like, this is not going to be good for me, like being isolated in my house every day. But I found the sound I have now during that lockdown. So if it didn't happen, I would have never, you know, found the confidence and found the love for the new music I'm making at the moment. So 100% definitely the lockdown has influenced so much of this music, like so much.
Yeah, so it's nearly been a good thing.
Yeah, I like, it depends on, like, everyone has their own like perspective of it, and don't get me wrong, I want to be back in the club, I want to be, you know, in a pub, which I can't wait to have a cold pint of beer garden. But it really helped me, do you know what I mean? So I'm grateful for finding myself during chaos, do you know what I mean? During all this madness. So it is hard, you know, especially artists nowadays, like anybody who played shows and got paid for them shows, like it's like, you know what I mean? There's no money whatsoever. So there's been like, you know, support now and then, but we need our shows back without question. Like, and the government need to see that. You know, we can be safe. We can be social distancing. Put people in the bubble. I don't care. Just let us play. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think that's been a huge kind of downfall of the last year and a half as well. Like, because the scene here was really starting to grow and really starting to come off and attract attention.
Yeah.
And then once all of this hit, it was like, oh well, like tough tits. You're on your own kind of thing, and everything's just kind of falling apart.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, it will be interesting to see how we build things back up and get back to the momentum that we were at before this. Do you think it's going to be a long road getting back there? Or do you think that with the, like how far the scene has come, that it's going to be easy to build back up?
From what I've seen, I feel like everybody has so much confidence now. Like just from what I've seen on like Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or TikTok, whatever, like, but I've seen some incredible artists. Like, I'm shocked. I don't know where they're coming from. I know they're from Ireland, but I just don't know what part they're from. And like, these people are mad. Like, the talent in this country is just insane. So I feel like lockdown really inspired thousands of different artists in this country and has made them be like, you know what, I've got nothing else to do. May as well give this a shot. And I feel like there's some artists, like, you know what, actually, I'd like to even name some of these artists. That's cool.
Go for it.
Be like, there's an artist that I like is Dubzino. I'm liking this guy. Like, I really think this guy has something special about him. Like, a lot of people always talked about, like, especially if you're not from Dublin, a lot of people would talk about the Irish accent and the rappers and stuff like that, but Dubzino is something different. Don't know what it is, but it's pretty good. Like, and I met him once or twice, and he's a good skin, like his sound. But yeah, there's a few others. You know, I think what else comes off my mind? Jay Lowell. He's obviously everyone knows Jay at the moment, and that guy is just lyrically insane. I've never heard anything like that guy. Like, I'm a rapper, and I've never heard anything like this guy. Like, he's insane. So I see him going big. Definitely. And just, you know, there's others as well, and they're all just blowing up, and they're just coming out of nowhere. Like, it's literally just like these banging songs, and I love the consistency. Everyone's constantly releasing music, and it's like they know they've nothing else to do, so they may as well get a catalog ready, because this stuff is going to be over soon. And then as soon as this stuff is over, boom, so I mean, you're ready to go. And that's what I'm doing. I'm just building a catalog, so when this stuff is over and done with, I can just sit back and be like, throw them out, be like, there you go. Oh, push that one.
Yeah. And then you can go back to your crazy lifestyle and just let the music fly.
Exactly. Just relax for a while. Do you know what I mean? Relax for a while. And then we're actually working on an album at the moment. I have a new song coming out very soon. It's called When the Party's Over. And I love this song so much. It's actually crazy how proud and how much I enjoy it, because I've never listened to my own music. Never. Never, ever. But now I vibe to my own music. Like, I love it. I'm like my own fan. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think that's a good thing. It's a good thing. So I'm loving the new music I have, but I'm definitely going to drop this new song this summer. And it's just a summer song. It is. I know for a fact it's going to be on the radio. I know for a fact people are really, really going to enjoy it. And the one after that, and the one after that, because I've got them all. They're all like, they've all got dates. They're all just ready to go.
We're just sold for the rest of the year.
Yeah. No doubt, definitely.
Brilliant. It sounds like the new wave that's coming up is going to be like a whole game changer.
The new wave that's happening right now?
Yeah, like in terms of like your music and transition to a new style, like it seems like this is just going to be like a big kind of thing for people.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big transition.
Yeah, like I've seen people, you know, be on this new wave that's going on, especially like the pop punk. That stuff is really banging, like, and a lot of artists are really getting into it. Like Jordan, he's from Belfast. He's an incredible artist. I've listened to him a lot. And like lately I've found myself listening to the likes of like Ian Dior or Machine Gun Kelly. Like, I've been compared to him a few times, Machine Gun Kelly, with my vibe to his vibe, and I'm totally fine with that. The guy's a multi-platinum selling artist. He's number one on Billboard. So like they say, if someone sounds like you, makes it, you've got the perfect of it. You just need the support. That's it. And I think that's what Ireland need to do. They need to start supporting their own artists. And it's so hard to get your own to support you, because I've learned that, you know, I've got strangers who I've never met text me, tell me they love my music and stuff. And then if I show my best friend, they'd be like, it's cool, bro. Do you know what I mean? It's just because they don't, you know, they don't see you like that. So I think Ireland need to support their own a lot more than they should. Like, definitely. They're lovely people. Irish people are lovely people, but they're not as supportive of artists. So that's all. You know what I mean? So I think it could help. It could definitely help a lot of people turn into like massive artists. Definitely, 100%.
100%, because even it's crazy looking at how a lot of people are so unaware of what's going on. I remember last year JLOL was down in flats down near me, and he recorded his music video, and I remember when the girls I know had shared it on Facebook, and she was like, oh man, look, that's the fella you seen in the flats the other day. And I was like, how do you not know who he is? Do you know what I mean? Because this was like, he just had a song on FIFA, all this stuff was starting to
build. That's an incredible achievement. That is like, that's nuts. Yeah. Getting FIFA, that's crazy.
I swear.
Hats off to him.
But then people are like, oh, that's that chap you saw with the cameras the other day or whatever. And you're like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
It's just insane.
Yeah, no, that's nuts. That's the thing, like, because these artists have the potential to be like Drake, Stormzy, stuff like that, like Dave, some massive artists. And I can see that. I can honestly see Ireland doesn't have its superstar yet. You know, every other country has a superstar. Like, America's got Drake, England's got Stormzy and Bugsy and stuff like that. But Ireland doesn't have any superstar yet. Like, we don't. And once we choose who that is, I guarantee you the artists who are coming up now will get their foot in the door. And they'll be seen and they'll be supported by a lot of more people, because obviously people don't support talent, they support popularity. And that's, I mean, that's fine. You know, that's a normal human thing. But I feel like once we do find out who's going to be the person to put Ireland on the map, like I'm talking global, like that's like in, especially the pop or hip hop scene, something like that, or the indie scene, maybe. Well, the indie scene's already been taken over by like Dermot Kennedy and Niall Horan, all that kind of stuff. So them guys on that wave. But I feel like once Ireland have its very own hip hop superstar, that's it. That's it. Like that's the way in. So we need to, that's the reason why, like, we have to sacrifice our little bit of stardom that we want and just give it to someone who deserves it. Let them get there. And then once they're there, people will understand that Ireland has so much talent in this country and they'll support it.
Yeah. Do you think that that superstar could be you?
You know what? I'm gonna be confident here. I feel like I have the potential to be a lot bigger than I think I am. I'll always keep my head though. Like, you know, I'll never let it get to my head. I just want to work. That's all I want to do. I just want to be one of the biggest artists that people can look at and go, that guy grew up homeless. That guy's mother was addicted to heroin. That guy had no fucking support or anything like that. And that'll inspire thousands of people to be like, I'm that guy right now. Do you know what I mean? So that's what I want to do. I don't want people to look at the tip of the iceberg and be like, oh, look at him on the stage, selling out shows, number one songs. You know, I don't want to see that. Like, look at me, can't pay my rent. Look at me when I was sleeping in parks with my mom. That's what I mean. Like, look at that. Like, see that and know that you can become anything. And if anybody is telling you that you can't, you are an idiot to listen to these people. Everybody is going to constantly have an opinion on you. And it doesn't matter if you're doing bad or good. At the end of the day, everyone's going to have an opinion. So you may as well be doing good and happy with what you're doing. So get everybody else and just go for it. Because at the end of the day, like, I heard this quote like a couple of weeks ago, and it was like, every man has two lives. And every man has two lives. And the second one begins when he realizes he has one. It's one of them kind of like, okay, you know what I mean? It's common sense, but we don't think of that on a daily basis. We don't realize that time is the only thing that is ours. Money isn't ours, because when we're dead, we don't take that with us. The car isn't ours, the house isn't ours. Like, the only thing you have is time. That's the only thing that you control is time. And if you're going to sit around and wish for things and, you know, this person said this, and oh, I'm not going to do that because this person said that. Like, if you do that, then you're going to realize when you're 80 years old, that person never gave a crap about you. So, you know, just go for it. You know, and that's what I'm doing. I'm in the mentality of, okay, that song didn't work. Let me try another. That one didn't work. Let me try another. So I'm just going to keep going. I'm not going to stop. I am not going to stop until I get to where I want to be. And I can get my mom the house she wants. I can put my little sister through college, stuff like that. You know what I mean? So that's the mentality I'm in.
Yeah, that's the right mentality to have. And similar to what you were saying there, I kind of live by, okay, so when you're like old and you're sitting in a nursing home and you're looking back at your life, are you going to be happy with what you've done?
Yeah.
Is there going to be regrets? If there's going to be regrets, do something about that now.
I put you money on this. Anybody's watching this video right now, if you go to an old folks home and sit down and talk to these old people, I put you money on it. Most of them will start a story with, I wish I did this. I wish I did that.
Yeah.
Without question, because I love talking to old people. I don't know what it is. I absolutely love, because you're looking at someone who's been living 80 years, 90 years, and they're ready. They're ready to go. Like, they don't have long left, because by then they've realized their time is out. They don't have time no more. And they wish they did realize that time was theirs. It was in their hands. So right now at the moment, I don't care. Like, I'm not letting anything affect me no more. I'm not letting, you know, the funny thing is, I've never received any hate, which is kind of weird. So I'm still waiting for that. I'm still like, where's that at?
Wow.
It's a bit, do you know what I mean? So,
like, that's crazy considering the type of platforms that you've, now, I mean, I don't mean this in a bad way at all, because a very likable person. You're an open book. Like, you're really easy to get along with, and you're real, like, level with people who are at whatever stage in their life. But I mean, in the but like, for the size of the stages that you've been on, or the types of shows that you've been on, and you're able to sit there and say, I haven't received hate, like, that's a huge thing.
Like, I'm not gonna lie, I actually said to one of my friends a couple of days ago, I was like, I'm a grown man out here in these fields, making music about in these fields, and there's no hate. I'm like, what's going on? I feel like I feel like the people who hate me secretly listen to my music and you're just like, he's so good. He's so good. Just don't want to tell him. Just don't want to tell him. So I don't know. Maybe I don't know, but I know I'll get it. I know it's there somewhere. But the thing is, it's what you do after that is what it's what's gonna define you. It's gonna show what you need to improve on. And I was so caught up in what people thought about me and stuff. So now if someone has an opinion to tell me, I'm not going to listen to them if they've never supported me. If I've never seen you support me and you tell me I should do this and do that, I'm going to tell you to take your opinion and get out of my way, because like, you don't want to see me do good. Like you could be in a room with 100 people and one of them would want you to do good, you know? So it's a difference. It's the perspective. It's the mentality. Like it's to know what's good for you, because I always tell myself this, and I made this up myself so I could remind myself every day about this. It would be, for me, look for people who want the best for you, not the best from you. And that's the way I see it. That's what I'm always going to have myself in, the all mentality. I'm always going to look for the people who want the best for me, not from me. You know, that's what I want.
Very cool. It's like you have the cheat code.
Yeah. I wish. San Andreas cheat code or something.
I swear, we all need to know what this little cheat code is that's going on. I was saying to you there about like the size of the platforms and stuff that you've been on. Like, you take me back to 2018 and going on Ireland's Got Talent and becoming a finalist.
Yeah, that was a crazy journey for something that's in Ireland. I didn't expect that to be so taken in by the audience, because when I first went on it, I was like, it's only Ireland. No one's going to give a crap. Like, do you know what I mean? And I remember one time I was in the Helix and I was at rehearsals for the semifinals. And no, I was at the semifinals live shows and the audience were downstairs and every act is like given a producer and stuff like that. And my producer, Grania, lovely woman, absolutely fantastic woman. She turned around to me and I was walking out to go downstairs to see my friends. And she was like, no, you can't go out there. And I was like, why? And she was like, kids will go crazy. And I was like, so? But I was like, I've always been that mentality of, I'm just the guy, like just Aaron, like not like, you know, these people think I'm some sort of pop star or something. So I went downstairs and they just went crazy. Like, it was nuts. And that's when I got that feeling of being like, holy crap. I'm like, whoa, like this is just a TV. Like, this is only Ireland. And the way people responded to it, and the day after my audition aired, my first audition, like that audition is still getting uploaded by different YouTube channels on a daily basis. It's nuts, even on TikTok. And like, I barely ever use TikTok, like, but
I swear I haven't either.
And I remember the day after my audition aired, I was in Blanche, and I went to a garage, and my face was plastered on every newspaper on the floor. Like, I was looking at it and I was like, holy crap. And then I actually bought them, not gonna lie. I bought about like five or six of them, and I went up to the guy and he was like at the till, and I was hoping he'd look at the newspaper, and I was like he never looked. But a part of me, like, my anxiety was like, oh, the other acts must hate me because they weren't getting spoken about, and they deserve to be spoken about, not just me, not because of my story. And I think that's the reason why the papers and the social media spoke about it so much, was because of my story and who I am and what I represent. And I didn't want that, because I didn't want people to see me as a public figure. I don't want to be a public figure. Like, I just want to be a guy who makes music, you know? And I remember, like, in the finals, in the bookies, one of my friends works in the bookies, and he texts me and he's like, yo, you're a favorite to win in the bookies. And I was like, are you for real? He was like, yeah, bro. He's like, you're like 7-2 or 2-7 or whatever it is. I don't know that much about betting. And he was like, yeah, you're a favorite. And I was like, am I the favorite? He was like, the favorite. And I was like, that's mad. And then I was like, those people are gonna lose so much money, because at the end of the day, like, yeah, it's called Ireland's Got Talent or Britain's Got Talent, but it's not the talent that actually wins. It's the people who actually vote for you. So when I was on the show, there were so many dancers, RDC, I think they were, and they were fantastic. And I loved them. And I still do to this day. Like, they're such nice, kind, genuine kids. And their parents as well were amazing. They were so inspiring. But yeah, I said it to them. I was like, we were all backstage and they were like, oh, you're going to win. And I was like, I'm not going to win. I'm by myself. You guys have 32 dancers and 32 families and 32 uncles. And I was like, I'm not winning this. So I was like, I just, whatever happens, go and have some fun. And that's what we did. And the day of the semi-final, of my semi-final performance, that was probably the most emotional song I've ever done, because my mother was in the crowd and my mother has never seen me perform before. Never. She's never been to a show. Yeah. So I said that every act is assigned like two tickets, so you can bring two people for free. I brought my mom and someone else, and I had Dublin Gospel Choir sing with me, and it was I was shocked because the choir were behind me and we only got to rehearse once, so I couldn't really hear them on the speakers or anything. But when they started singing the chorus of Emily Sandé, Read All About It, I can't describe the emotion that went through my body. Like, I just completely went, like, stuck to the ground. I was like, don't look at the camera. And I was like, look down. And I was just walking around the stage, and my mum was in the crowd, and the song was about her battling her heroin addiction and, you know, becoming better. And she's like 12 years, 13 years clean. Like, she's doing amazing. And at the end of the song, I looked at her and I was like, I do forgive you now. Because I knew she always blamed herself for what I went through as a kid and whatever happened to me as a kid. She always blamed herself for that. And that's why I want to make her proud. Like, I want to show her that all that damage I've been through, all the pain we went through, like, that did not stop me. That did not damage my mentality. That didn't, you know, make me sit there and feel sorry for myself and tell myself that I can't be what I want to be, you know. So it fueled me so much. And that's why I want to show her. I want to show her that I can do it. Like,
yeah, it definitely is. And I mean, it shows that there is kind of strength in every situation and that there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, obviously we've been through that your songs deal with, like, the struggles that you went through and stuff.
Yeah.
Take me back to the music video for Burden, because that video was, I remember the first time I watched it and I was like, there's something so haunting but also so comforting about this.
Yeah, I'm actually very happy you've seen that perspective. I'm very happy you said that, because that's what Burden is about. It's the scary part, but also the insecurity part, where you can say, I'm kind of like this too. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the song Burden was written for all of what destroyed me, like relationships, my mom, and like being like in a really bad mentality and stuff like that, and like heartbreak, all combined into one song. And Fob, FOB, actually produced that whole instrumental, and he made it in 30 minutes. And I just looked at him and I was like, I need to write this song, because we just loved the instrument, the piano of it was beautiful. And we shot the video, and I was contacted by some fans. I wanted some fans to be in the video. I put up a thing. I know a lot of people wouldn't do this because of insecurities or anything like that, and that's totally fine. It's okay to be like that. But I put up a story and I was like, I'd love to get three people for characters for the music video. Tell me your story. You know, tell me why you are a burden. You know what I mean? Why you carry your burden. And then Lauren was the first one that reached out to me, and she's a cancer survivor of 5 years. And she's such a funny person. I've never met someone so much funnier than this girl. Like, she's hilarious. And she's from Clare, I think, I'm pretty sure. And we had her in the video, and we had Chloe. Chloe was a survivor of bullying, and she suffered, like, you know, getting bullied every day. And now she's a really big mental health advocate, and I absolutely love it. Like, I love that about her now. And she's such a beautiful young girl. Like, she's amazing. And then we had Dara. Dara was actually, I met Dara at a photo shoot. He was actually taking the photographs of me for a clothing brand that hired me to wear their clothes and model for them. And me and him just clicked. We just clicked as friends. We got to know each other, and like he was suffering really, really bad with his mentality at the time and stuff like that. And he was in Pieta House for attempted suicide. He's totally fine with me telling these stories, like, because I've already, you know, he's always told me to say it. And I love him, and I'm so, so proud of him, of the man he's become and the photographer he is. Like, he captures beautiful moments, and yeah, he was the suicidal survivor. Lauren was the cancer survivor, and Chloe was the bullying survivor. So all of these people came together and announced their burdens without any hesitation. Like, they just said, this is me, this is who I am, and this is what made me into the best version of myself I can ever be. And to these people, I know they're going to watch this, and I just want to say I love you guys, and thank you so much for making that song just absolutely incredible. So big love to them guys. Like,
yeah, because it definitely was a powerful one, and even like the characters, and I know we've seen a few familiar faces in there as well, and it's like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, it was just so intense almost, but then again there was that comfort of, okay, well, like, other people have been through the same thing that you might have been through, and being able to see like, oh well, there is an outcome, and it is very important for people to know like that there is light at the end of the tunnel and things do get better. Do you ever feel kind of like pressured or feel like you have to like act a certain way or say things a certain way in order to continue to get that message across?
Kelly, I'll give you this. You're a great presenter and a great interviewer.
Thank you.
I'll give you that. These are really good questions. Like, I'm going to be straight out with it. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. Yeah, 100%. I've been in that mentality where I thought that I had to act a certain way or say a certain thing. And I just said, no, like, I can't because I'm just lying to myself. And then lies always come out. Do you know what I mean? Everyone gets caught out. And I thought that would have been a strength for me to be vulnerable, to be real with people. And it has been, because no one's attacked it yet. No trolls have attacked it because they've got nothing to attack. It's like that bit in, do you know that movie 8 Mile?
Yeah.
And what Eminem's rapping about his life, and he's like telling that contestant, he's already saying stuff that guy's going to use against him. So they can't say anything to me because I've already confessed it all. So you're not going to gain anything from it. So off with you. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, that would be the mentality I went into. I was like, I have to act this way. I have to say this thing. Oh, I can't post that. Now I'm just like, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to say what who I am and what I do and what I represent. I'm not going to lie for anybody. I'm not going to pretend to make some person I don't even know feel better. You know, no, like, I have my own life to live, and I appreciate people, you know, watching and stuff, but I'm not gonna pretend I'm something I'm not without, no, definitely not. I'll refuse to do that, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, especially when we shot the video for Burden, I was in like a little room or something, and Nathan Sheridan actually directed that video, and he said to me, he was like, I know this song means a lot to you, so I want you to go like let loose. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, just let loose, bro. I said, just let loose. And I was like, all right. So I went to like a room and I smashed it up to pieces. Like, I just went crazy in the room. And I think I like fractured my ankle. I couldn't walk for like 2 weeks after. Like, it was really bad. I put my foot to a door. And the main purpose of the song, the way there's a scene where I'm in the middle and everybody's around me, but nobody has any expression on their face. And that main purpose of that scene was to say that I've released all these songs and not one of you have asked me, am I okay? Do you know what I mean? No one has like ever DM'd me, like when Show Pain came out, I'm like, I hope you're okay. Eventually they did, which was, it was beautiful. Like, so that was just that scene. It was like to show that people don't know, even when you're talking to them, even when you're saying it to them, like you're looking at this person dead in the eye, and they don't see it, you know, and that's fine, you know, that's okay. And I'd eager people to be more understanding, you know, that's really it. So that's what that scene was, and I'm proud of that song, very, very proud of that song, 100%, definitely.
Yeah, you should be, because it is an amazing track and an amazing video, and I mean, it came just at the start of lockdown last year, so it was nearly like the finishing piece.
I will pray. It was, definitely.
Do you think we'll see, like, I mean, we haven't really seen, I don't think we have seen any visuals from you since Burden. Will there be more to come this year?
I've released 3.
Have you?
Yeah, I've released.
Oh my God, how did I miss these?
I'm not going to lie to you, right? Not a lot of people seen them. They flopped. They completely flopped. No one's seen them. That's my own fault because I didn't really promote them. But I released a track called Vanish with a music video. And then I released who you are, which did amazing. It got placed on 3 massive editorial playlists. I couldn't believe it. It was nuts.
You've just reached 60k streams on that as well, I believe.
Today I got 60,000 plays already, which is nuts because I didn't even put any promotion into it. No PR team, no radio play, absolutely nothing. So it's just people go listening to the song and enjoying it. And then like now I just have so much to give and so much to offer. Like I'm so, so excited. Like I don't think I've ever been this excited in all my years. Like I love it. Like I know everyone's gonna love it. I know I'm gonna love it. So I'm just mentally in a place now where I'm like, I'm happy. Like that's it. Like that's the only way to describe it. I'm actually happy. Like it's took me a long time, but I'm happy. Like I'm finally at peace with trying to do something that, you know, where if you have to pressure yourself to do it, then you shouldn't be doing it. You know what I mean? So I'm just happy now. Yeah, I'm really happy. So,
well, that's good. That's honestly like the best place to be. We are coming towards the end, unfortunately, but we're leaving on a good note.
Leaving on a good note. Oh. When the back is over, it's coming out this summer.
Just before we go, tell me, what are you most looking forward to doing when we get out of lockdown?
Meeting all these amazing people who've been supporting me during this lockdown. I've gained a lot more fans during lockdown, so I'm very, very excited to see some new faces. Now, I still appreciate the old ones.
It's just time to meet the new ones.
Excited to see some new ones. Give them the opportunity.
Brilliant. But look, we have plenty of stuff, new music coming from you soon, and hopefully we'll be able to see you on a stage again. So there it is. Thanks a mil again. That was Aaron J in the hot seat. So thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. Appreciate it.
Say I'm blacked out, running round, it's all on me, but I cannot see, it's imaginary, yeah. Why tell me everything's gonna be alright? I tried dancing, I'm living in the sky. Tell me everything that I've done. Got a lot of common with the first one.
Why you gotta play games? Give me a migraine in my head. I don't wanna play games. I bet you wish that I was dead. You're always lying through your teeth. Everything you say, you're blaming me. If it's love, it's on repeat. I'm here without you. But I can't get you out of my mind. Running with it, keeping image, but I can't stay.
I will keep your secret.